You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Oh my goodness, worship was off the charts this morning. I love Christmas. I can't get enough of it. And I love how Americans do Christmas. I'm telling you, you guys beat how Australians do Christmas. Like, it's not even a competition. It's amazing. I love it. I love it. I love it. I've already eaten too much sugar. Has anyone like me? Nobody give me candy canes. I cannot be trusted. I have no self-control around candy canes, all right? So don't do it. I am pumped about this morning. I got a chance to preach at the 10 a.m., but I know that the 12 p.m. is where all the excited people are at. Is that right? And guys, we've got to get excited because this is our very last Sunday for 2016. So let's go out with a bang this morning, shall we? Okay, so just to make sure no one missed it, so no church next Sunday because it's Christmas, but then we do have an extra special start of the year service happening January 1st. The real Christians will be here. Come on, you can do it. 10 a.m. and 12 p.m., it's going to be awesome. Just don't go to bed. Just keep the party going right into the morning. It's going to be a fantastic Sunday, and we can't wait to have you there. Are we ready for this morning? Good, because I'm ready to preach it. I'm telling you, this Christmas season has been awesome. I've almost, I would say, not started Christmas shopping. I say almost not started because I have bought one thing, okay? One thing, people. But that still leaves me about 27 other things to buy. Is anyone like me still a little bit behind on the Christmas shopping? Them's my people. But look, this is why I haven't done my Christmas shopping, okay? It's not because I haven't got to a store, which is kind of true because I have small children, so that is very hard. But the main reason I haven't actually done all my Christmas shopping is because I have some people in my world that are very hard to buy for. I've got people in Australia, which I need to buy for, which is a whole thing because you can't buy anything that's heavier than like a postage stamp. I'm like, what do you buy? There's only so many handkerchiefs and scarves you can send people in Australia, okay? So that's a whole challenge, buying for people in Australia. The other person I buy for every year, which is getting harder and harder to buy for, is my beloved Drew Davies. Oh my goodness, somebody pray for me. Buying for this man is so tough. Like, he's so practical. Like, he just doesn't need anything. Anything he has, anything he wants, he already has. And like, everything you buy him, literally everything is followed by this. He goes, oh, thanks. So, how much did it cost? Oh my God! A little bit grinchy. I'm just going to call you out. Just a little bit grinchy. But anyway, he is a very hard guy to buy for, which made me think a little bit coming around preparing for this message. Who would be the hardest person in the world to buy a present for? Like, would it be Beyonce? Would she be the hardest person? Would it be Justin Bieber? No, I reckon even harder than both of those is actually the King of King and the Lord of the Lord, the Christ of Christmas, the King of the season, the reason for the season, Jesus. Like, just humor me for a minute. Can you imagine if Jesus was on your list? Like, what are you going to buy him? Like, a Starbucks gift card and a bottle of cologne ain't going to cut it. You know, this is the God that owns the cattle on a thousand hill who can speak and you know, creation happens. Like, what would you ever buy a God who has everything? Which made me think about a story in the Bible you may or may not be familiar with. We're going to read it today. About three guys that the Bible talks about bringing a gift to Jesus. Now, these guys have been immortalized in carols we sing. You might have heard of them. They're called the Three Wise Men. And the craziest thing when I actually looked at it, so there's a story written in Matthew. There's a couple of times that the birth of Christ is talked about in the Bible. But in Matthew, there is 12 verses that talk about the birth of Christ. And do you know what? In those 12 verses, the wise men get more page space than actually Jesus does. There was something so significant about what these wise men brought to Jesus 2,000 years ago that Matthew, the writer of that story, when he was recounting the story, spent more time focusing on the wise men and their gifts than actually the birth of Jesus. Why? We're going to find out. All right, so if you want to come to your Bible for me, we're going to put it on the screen. We're going to read from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12 from the Amplified Version. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king," everyone say, boo, hiss, he's the bad guy. "Magi, or the wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem asking, 'Where is he who had been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So he called together all the chief priests and scribes of the people and anxiously asked them where the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, was to be born. They replied to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet Micah. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not in any way least among the leaders of Judea. From you shall come the ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly sent for the Magi, or the wise men, and learned from them, saying, the exact time the star had first appeared. So he asked them, when did the star appear? Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I may too come and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them, continually leading the way, until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Unspeakable joy, Mum might say. It was a joke because that was our worship song. And after entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then after opening their treasure chest, they presented him gifts fit for a king, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to go back to Herod, the Magi left for their own country another way. Okay, so how many people have heard that story before? A couple of us? How many people like me maybe had a starring role in a play of that story? Anyone? Do we have anyone that got to play baby Jesus? Anyone? Anyone got to be Mary? Any Josephs in the house? How many people like me had the amazing role of a lowing sheep or cattle? Yes. I would like to almost have like a cattle off down here, but I would win. I was awesome cattle. I had it all going on. Yes, we know this story. This is the story which the world stops at this time and tells. Here's some little fun facts for you, though. The story we so often tell is actually not the story that's listed in the Bible. Here are just some extra things to think about. There are some things that we consider as facts of the Christmas story that we actually didn't read. Some of them relate to the wise men. Did you know that the Bible never said there was three of them? Scholars actually think there was probably a whole bunch of different men. It was just that there was three gifts. The couple of other things that are different, too, is that when they brought the gift to Jesus, it was probably likely that he was about 2 years old, not even a little baby. So I feel a little bit like the nativity scenes lie to me. I feel like my career as a cow in the play was really just selling lies to people, because here there wasn't even any cow mentioned in this story. This is the thing. It was an added character. Anyway, I'm working it out. But why? Why is this a story that the story of the wise men? I just said, why did Matthew put so much time talking about these men that came? Now, just so you know, the Magi or the wise men, this is what we do know about them. The word Magi speaks of people that were scholars, who were learned men, that learned a lot in the fields of astrology and astronomy. So they spent their days looking at the sky and recording everything they saw. And the Bible doesn't say this, but you can infer that what happened one day is they saw a star that they had maybe been told about from generations gone by. Bible scholars say that the Magi were probably ancestors of Daniel, of the lion's den fame. You know, the guy in the lion's den, this is actually his lineage. His ancestor is in the Magi. So they had heard the prophecy that one day there would be a star that would rise in the sky and that would lead them to the place where the Messiah was born. So you've got these men scholars. And you know, so often the carol make it sound like they were kings. But the Bible never says that. They were just ordinary men going about their day, making room to see God do something great. And they saw something. And they made a decision to leave family, leave friends, leave the world that they knew, and follow something that they weren't sure of. And a lot of people don't know this, but that trip that the wise men took wasn't just a quick, easy one. They weren't in the day of Uber. They didn't just call an Uber and they were there a little bit longer. No, that journey was a 2-year journey. I mean, oh my goodness, 2 years on a camel, that does not sound fun. But that is how much they were determined to give their gift to the king. So what was it about these gifts? So we know they're to be gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What was so valuable about those three things that was worth a journey of 2 years? Why do their gifts even make the story? Why is it that it even mattered? Like, if we're talking about the Messiah, the God who created heavens on earth, the God who has authority over all things, why did it matter what temporary earth gifts were given to him? Because if he really was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, couldn't he just access any good thing that the world had to offer? What was it about these gifts that that Matthew took the time to really describe, and the fact that we're talking about wise men today? The purpose of my message this morning is quite simple. I want to show how the story of the wise men in this story that we just read in Matthew has little to do with the selection of the gifts that the wise men chose to brought Jesus that day, but has everything to do with the way that they brought it and the way that they went on a journey that they didn't actually know the end, but the determination that they would be positioned to be there and worship Jesus. Too long, and this is for me, I'm speaking to me here. Too long, people have thought about Christmas in terms of it's a moment to stop and think about the gift we received. And that's true, but I reckon there's so much more to Christmas than just taking a minute to think about the gift of Jesus being born. I actually think, and I feel stirred to share this with others this morning, I think it's actually a moment when we come around Christmas to not just think about what we were given, but also about what we have an opportunity to give to God. I really feel like a stirring in my spirit to talk about how we, you and I, could be the modern day wise men of today. That maybe in 2,000 years, if the world's still here, that maybe our story would be told because of the significance of the gift that we could choose to give God this morning. Wouldn't it be incredible that the way that we celebrated Christmas this year could be one that could be talked about in generations to come? Because we're talking about how the wise men celebrated Christmas almost 2,000 years ago. So it was obviously something really significant. So this morning I've entitled my message, The Wise Man's Guide to Christmas. What is it about this story that can impact the way that we go about the next week in terms of celebrating Christmas? Yes. Before we look at that picture, because there is a lot we need to talk about in that picture, let's pray. God, I just thank you, Father, for this church. God, I thank you for all that you are doing, Lord, and all that you are going to do, God. God, I thank you, Father, sitting in this room, Lord, is a potential, Father, to see a city won, God. God, we are expectant for all that you are going to do, Father, in the hearts today, God. God, I declare, Lord, that this is a house of salvation, of transformation, God. God, I pray that my words are your words this morning, God. Pierce hearts, God. God, soften hearts to hear your truth and your word this morning. Bless every person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yes, it is time to look at the picture behind my screen. You are looking at Amazon's hottest gift of 2016. It is entitled Hipster Nativity Scene. If you are looking for a present to buy me, I'd actually appreciate this. Now, you really need to look at the details to really get the genius of this. So we have, yes, I love this. We have Jesus in a manger. And Mary is, if this was Mary in 2016, I guarantee this is what she would be rocking. Any mums rocking the yoga pants and Starbucks look on a daily basis? Yes. And then you got dad in a cool hipster shirt taking a selfie. One thing I do love about this is the wise men on there, because the wise men of today probably wouldn't be riding camels, pretty expensive to feed, I feel, but they probably would be on a cool Segway. Has anyone ridden a Segway before? Okay, not enough of you have said yes to that. You want unspeakable joy. You need to ride some Segways in your life. I don't know, honey, if we can put this in the budget to have Segways at our new campus, but if we can, we need to make that happen. That will bless your soul unlike anything else. But yes, we have some hipsters, wise men on their Segways with their Amazon package. Very cool. And then this is pretty great. The cattle and sheep that we're talking about, of course, are 100% organic. You don't want it any other way. So I'm glad that Amazon is taking our nativity scenes for the next level. So I must say, after knowing about this whole that Jesus was older thing, I kind of feel still it's lying to me. He was a toddler, people. I don't know. I think because I got a chance to play baby Jesus when I was in third grade, I feel a little bit like my legacy has been robbed now that I know the truth. Anyway. All right. So that's what I want to talk about. The guide, like, what can the wise man help us get a new understanding of Christmas this year? as I said, what is it about their gifts that we could learn about today and even present something in our hearts this morning of a new gift that we could give Jesus? So I wrote a list. Okay, if I was thinking, if I had to buy Jesus a gift, what are all the things that I could give him? As we know, Jesus isn't here in the flesh, but he is someone that carries in my heart. So the thing that I could get Jesus wouldn't be actually anything physical. It would be something I would give him out of my life, out of my spirit. So I started thinking about all the scriptures I knew and all the knowledge of God I had, and I started writing a big list of a gift that I could give Jesus. And if you actually think about it, there's a few things the Bible talks about that we can give Jesus. It talks about giving him prayer, giving him honor. It talks about giving God time, giving him our talents. Just a quick shout out, if you're not serving in the house of God, like, that is a gift that you can readily give God. When you serve in the house of God, that is a gift that you can give God. I loved it this morning. You know, we had an 11-year-old doing service directing. We have 15-year-olds running media. Our church is built on the back of people that know what it is to give God the gift of their talent and their time. So we can give God all of these gifts. We can give the gift of thanksgiving. There's all these things the Bible talks about. But there was three that really stood out to me that I want to talk to you about today. Is that okay? Can we talk about three gifts that we could give God as Christians? Now, before I get into it, just know this. The gifts I'm talking about are significant because it's not about the gifts that we're talking about. God himself couldn't just come and get. The gifts are significant because the only way God can get these gifts is if we choose to give them. Like, isn't that crazy? The God who created the whole universe, there's some things that he can't access until we give him permission. Because when God created us, he created us with free will, which meant that we got to choose. So God is a gentleman. He will never force himself on you. We have a relationship with God. We're not in a religion or a dictatorship. We have a God that so wants to know us that he actually sets it up that we get to choose him. I mean, he first chose us, but we're the ones that get to choose him back. So when I'm talking about these gifts this morning, know that they're coming from a place of when we get to choose whether we want to give this to God or not. So the first gift this morning is worship. And when I'm talking about worship, I'm not talking about a song. I'm not talking about what we just did here in church earlier. That's part of it. That is the expression. It's an outward expression of something that is happening on the inside. I'm talking about worship as a state of being, a state of attitude, a seeking of our heart where it says, God, I will seek you no matter what the cost. Now, I just want to go back and look at the scripture we read earlier from Matthew 2, right at the beginning. And it said, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then it goes down in verse 2, it says, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And I wanted to go right back to the beginning, because who knows at the beginning of anything is where it kind of sets the reason for the whole everything else that comes afterwards. What I love about that is it actually tells us that the whole story of Christmas and the whole story of the wise men started by men that purposed to set out and worship Jesus. Now, I've heard the story of Christmas so many times before, but for some reason, I miss that. I miss that the whole purpose of the wise men and the reason that Matthew included their story wasn't because of the gift that they were taking Jesus, but because of the journey of worship they were on. When the wise men came on a journey, it was not to pay homage. It was not to pay respects to some deity. It was to worship, and there's a difference in it. I love that what Romans 12 verse 1 says. If you haven't read this scripture before, I'd love to read it to you. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So if you're looking for a definition of what worship is, like, it's not music. It's exactly what Romans talks about. It's being in a place where your whole body, your whole soul is being a sacrifice to God. It's offering him out of the very core of who you are. So it's not just coming out of your lips or your mouth. It's coming out of your whole life. So worship is a lifestyle. I love the idea that the wise men would travel 2 years just to stand where Jesus stood. And it really got me thinking about a question that I want to ask us all today is, when was the last time we moved ourselves to be positioned to worship God? Because I know for me, so often worship has to be convenient. Like, I'll worship God if I happen to be there, or the song I like happens to be on, or if it's in key. But it has been a while since I've actually gotten out of bed early, stayed up late, like moved myself to a place where I'm positioned to worship God. And I really felt challenged preparing this message, but there is a maturing in terms of us as worshippers as a campus God wants to encourage us towards. Because did you know that we're a church that are worshippers? We are not a community of people that just sing a song. We are a community of people that understand that there is a cost to worship and they are willing to pay it. Can I put it in this context? So there's the message version of the same verse I read you in Romans 12, the same verse, but this is the message version. And I think it puts it into the modern day context. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. So there's a lot we could say about worship. Literally, we could talk about this for weeks and weeks and still not be done from it. But this morning we're talking about what can the wise man teach us about the gift of worship? Because remember, what they actually took to Jesus that day wasn't about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was about their worship. And you know what I think made their worship valuable? Is because there was a sacrifice attached to it. Did you know that true worship, the kind of worship we just read about where our bodies are living sacrifices, actually costs us something? It actually requires some sacrifice. Those wise men, the price they paid was 2 years of a journey. I don't know what the price that you pay today. I've been a pastor, I've been around a little while. I often find that the price people pay to worship Jesus are maybe something like forgiving somebody they don't want to forgive. It's maybe about cutting out the distractions of everything going on in their circumstances and choosing to fix their eyes on Jesus. I think sometimes it's being in church, even though everything in their life is saying, don't be there. You know, I know of stories even this week of people who literally feel like their families are, excommunicating them because of their decision to be in church. I know that worshiping God costs people something. But for the average person like me, who's been in church for a while, I realize that maybe it's been a while since there's been a cost or a sacrifice attached to my worship. So that's my question for you, and I don't know where you're all at, but I do know this, and I do know what the Bible says. It says that God has called us to be living sacrifices. God has called us to be like the wise men of the Bible. Same for the wise men of the Bible, same for the people sitting in the AMC today, that our worship would require us to pay a price to be able to stand before Jesus and offer us ourselves and our hearts. I want to read one more scripture this morning. It's from 2 Samuel 24:24. It's David, who is one of the most famous worshippers of the Bible. If you want to know a little bit more about this worship and really understand the heart of worship, I would encourage you to read the writings of David in the Bible. They're amazing. They really show you what the heart of a worshipper looks like. And he says in this, I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So I want to encourage us all this morning that when we worship, it's not just about a song or a religious activity. It's actually our bodies becoming a living sacrifice for Jesus. It's about being positioned to seek God no matter what it costs us. The men were wise because they knew the significance of seeking God. They were called wise men because they sought God. I want to be called a wise man or woman because I know about seeking God. So just before we finish up this gift, please know this. Worship can only be received from God when we choose to give it. Can we be a campus of people that readily and freely give God the gift of our worship? Not because we have to or because we're going to get smited and a lightning bolt from heaven's going to come down and fry us if we don't, but because we understand the honor of who Jesus is and we so freely want to offer our worship to honor him. Can we be that this morning, church? All right. You are definitely quieter than the 10, which can't do. And you know what livened up the 10 a.m. crowd? Some jokes. And they were good, but I'm going to bring out the really good ones for the 12 o'clock. All right, you ready for it? Christmas jokes are the best. Okay, these just aren't jokes. These are actually going to help some people. This is going to preach this morning, okay? I actually have some Christmas pickup lines. Caleb Dominguez, I don't know where you are. I'm looking at you. You might need these. Write these down and feel free to dispense them at ladies some point throughout this week. These are pretty great. I don't know. If you don't get a girlfriend after these, single man, I don't know what to tell you. Your pastor's helping you out here. All right, you ready for this pickup line? It's a good one. If I was the Grinch, I wouldn't steal Christmas. I'd steal you. You deliver it like that with a little bit of an eyebrow. Yeah, you're going to go there. Okay, this is all class, this one. Shouldn't you be on top of the tree, angel? And then, you know, maybe don't do it too much eyebrow. It could be a little bit creepy. Just work it. Work it in the mirror a few times. Do some workshopping. See how you go. All right, and the last one for you. Can I have your picture so I can show Santa what I want for Christmas? Yeah. Remember, the real gift is worship, but that's just for free. That's like icing on that presence. So come on, man, I want to hear stories of girlfriends. I want a lot of girlfriends here. Come on, January 1st. Use those. Just be careful. There's a lot of power in those lines, I feel. All right, so we talked about one gift that we as Christians can give our King this season. Not just this season, but every season, the season of worship. There is another gift which we can give Jesus that I want to talk about this morning, and that is the gift of obedience. Yes, I said the O word in church, obedience. It's an interesting word, obedience. Do I have any parents of young kids in the room? I feel you are going to get this point unlike any other. I myself am a parent of two young kids, and I'm telling you right now, I have a front row seat to watching obedience or disobedience maybe right up close. And can I tell you, the struggle is very real. It is incredible to me. I never taught my kids to be disobedient, but yet they're disobedient without really too much battle. It is funny that in our human flesh, that is actually our default as humanity, to be disobedient, to run from what authority is telling us. And I'm telling you, I got some stories about some disobedience that will just say, pray for me right now and pray for my kids. Like, we're going to survive these years somehow. Sometimes I don't know if we will. Like, my little guy, Jack, I swear he is on, like, a death crusade every day. The other day, he was in the bath, and I literally turn around for 1 second to get a towel. Like, I'm talking, like, that's not much. I look back. All of a sudden, he has climbed on the vanity right next to our bath and jumped off it right on the ground. Smack, blood coming out of his ear. I'm like, awesome. So my Jack, just stay there, was not met with obedience, but disobedience. So not being Jesus, but having that experience of watching my kids do all sorts of things that harm them, I know what a gift it would be this Christmas if my kids gave me the gift of obedience when I said something that was for their protection and so they didn't die, that they would go, of course, Mother, anything you would like, Mother, I'm going to sit here and smile sweetly. I know that would be a great gift for me. Same for me, same for your Father in heaven. I think we've got a Father in heaven that's watching his kids, and maybe this is just an analogy, but maybe you're a little bit like you're on the vanity about to jump into the bath and bust your ear, and he's saying, stop, wait. And maybe this Christmas, one of the best gifts you can give Jesus is just listening and heeding his word and giving him the gift of obedience. And can I just tell you, be joyful about obedience. Like, if you really understood the purpose of obedience, you'd actually do it with a bit of joy. I think, if I think back of my days as an immature Christian, I think I struggled a lot against obedience because I saw it as a limitation rather than a protection. And as a parent, I really understand now. When I tell my kid, don't do it, it's not because I don't love her, it's because I do. And it's because I see things, dangers that they don't see yet. So maybe for some of us today, we need to get a new understanding of why God has some of the things he does in his Bible. Maybe obedience is just, you understand, it's actually protection is probably a better word for it. So when God says no, like, maybe don't date that guy. Maybe tithe your money. All this stuff that we talk about that you're like, and we want to say, no, maybe it's just God's protection, God trying to set us up for the life that we were purposed to live. The thing about us as humans, and definitely for my 3.5-year-old, when the correction comes or when the command is given to be obedient, she has not yet learnt the yes, mummy. What she has learnt is the fine, fine. And I laugh at it, but it actually sometimes is like looking in a mirror and I'm like, dang, I do that to God way too often. Like, Emma, you know, you need to tithe. fine. Or, you know, Emma, you need to be in church on a Sunday. Fine. Like, whatever it is for you. I feel like we have that 3.5-year-old still going on in some of us. And it's time for us as Christians to mature and really see what a gift obedience is. What an incredible thing that we can give our King. And you know, like with the gift of worship and with the gift of obedience, what's so incredible about it, it's not about what we're necessarily giving, because God doesn't actually need our worship or need our obedience. We need our worship and we need our obedience, because the thing is, until we give it, we actually can't receive all of the presence of blessing that God has under His tree addressed just for us. The gifts of freedom, the gifts of fruitfulness, of multiplication, of all of those things that happen when we worship and we are obedient to the things of God. Okay, John 4 verse 15, there's a verse that says this, so powerful. It says, "If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments." Like, have you ever questioned, like, I've heard it a couple of times, to say, well, God doesn't need anything with me. What does the God of the universe need from me? Like, He makes a pretty bold statement in this scripture. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. The thing is, as I said, God's about having a relationship with us. So God, to have a relationship, there's a to-ing and a fro-ing. There's a giving and a receiving. God wants us not just to love Him in word and love Him with our lips. He wants us to love Him with the actions that follow that. So this Christmas, as we sing the Christmas carols and we you know, tell God we love Him, can we remember that scripture in John? That if we really love God, if we really believe that He is the reason for the season, if He is the reason that we are saved, can we actually be then people that obey all the principles and the commandments He puts in His word? Why does it matter that we're obedient? Because without God, I really want to labor this point because it's important. Because without giving God our obedience, as I said before, He can't get to us all the good things He wants to get to you. You know, I can honestly say, like honestly, I'm not making this up, my life would be such a power reflection of what it is right now without me having learnt that I had obedience to give Jesus. Like, I know that I'm standing here with you amazing people in this amazing country, in this amazing city, because as a young girl, I understood that I had my obedience to give to Jesus. I understood that my life didn't just happen, that I had a choice, whether I laid down what I wanted, whether I made God's preferences my preferences. That didn't just happen. It was a decision I made. But I look at my life now and, oh, I am so thankful. Like, sometimes it's hard to give that present of obedience. It does. It costs us something. I want to do what I want to do. But can I just encourage you? On the other side of it, there is blessing that you won't even be able to understand. Like, there is blessing of friendship and of just being in the place that you know God wants you to be in. Like, I know that, like, and I said this earlier and it needs to be said. This year, Drew and I actually celebrated our 10-year anniversary. I know, we didn't kill each other for 10 years, yes. So I'm allowed to be a little bit mushy, right? It's our 10-year anniversary, and this is cheaper than a gift, see? Verbal, there you go. But, like, I know that I am the recipient, like, my life is a recipient of being married to a man who is a modern-day wise man. I am a recipient of someone who, like the guys in the Bible, knew what it was to take to God a gift. And I know I'm married to a man that knows how to worship and knows how to be obedient to the things of God. And I'm so incredibly thankful that he gave God that gift, because I've been able to be the recipient of everything that came afterwards. And maybe you need to know that today as wives, as husbands and parents. Like, there is such power to you giving God these gifts this morning. And it's not just for you. It's for the people that you're married to, you're raising, that you're surrounded. That's what's so beautiful about God. We get to share the treasure and the richness of everything God blesses us with the people around us. So the gift of worship, the gift of obedience, and just see what God will do with your life. You know, the whole Christmas story itself really is about worship and obedience. Like, imagine if Mary hadn't been obedient to what that angel said, or Joseph wouldn't have listened to the angel and taken Mary and gone, or the, you know, the wise men themselves. Imagine if they had gone back to Herod and told him where Jesus was. This would have been a very different story. We are literally celebrating Christmas because of people that knew what it was to worship and be obedient. Okay, the final gift I want to talk about this morning. And honestly, the gift that kind of, unless you give it to Jesus, the rest of it doesn't work. And you might guess what it is. It's actually the gift of our heart. You know, what's interesting is when you read the Bible, you'll actually see this pattern. When you actually see it, you'll see it everywhere. So often, God can't move until we do. It's not that he can't, it's that he's a gentleman and he waits for us. He understands the power of us being positioned. So like, to put another story in it, I think of the story of Peter in the Bible. When God came up to the boat and said, "Peter, get out of the boat, walk on water." The thing is, that didn't just happen automatically. Peter had to be obedient enough to put his foot out of the boat and stand on the water before Jesus could grab his hand. And that's the thing about worship and obedience. It doesn't actually work unless you first give it. And that's the thing, definitely, when it comes to our heart. God is not just going to come in and take your heart. He's waiting for people that would willingly give it to Jesus and willingly be willing to give their God the best of who they are. There is nothing more significant than our heart. In our heart, it's who we are. It's all the things that we love. Like, there is no more precious gift in the world we could give our Savior than the gift of our heart. Psalm 116, verse 12 to 13 says, "What will I give to the Lord in return for all of his benefits towards me? How can I repay him for his precious blessings? I will lift up the cup of salvation and I will call on the name of the Lord." Proverbs 23:26 says, "Son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in our ways." There is no secret in the Bible that's really what this Christmas story is about. It's about a God who loved you so much that he sent his only son to this world just so he could stand there and be positioned to take your heart if you're willing to give it. This morning as we come around, we're nearly finished. I'm going to ask for every eye to be closed, every head to be bowed. And I want to speak to people's hearts this morning. I know there's people in this room that have heard about some gifts this morning that seem so far removed from their current experience of God. I know there's some people this morning that need to have a worship revolution, have an obedience revolution in their world, that need to understand that they have a gift worth giving to the King, and it starts with them. But Lord, before all of that, I want to just ensure that every heart listening to my voice this morning right now, God, knows their Savior, that every person has had an opportunity to give you the greatest gift of all, their heart. Because on the other side of that gift, God, is treasure that I can't even explain just today, God. It is so rich and so much blessing on the other side of that. So if there is people here this morning that have never made the decision to give God the gift of their heart, I would like to pray with you this morning. Or maybe there's people here that once gave that gift to God, but then shortly after they grabbed it back and put it back under their own tree, not to be given to God. If that's you this morning, if you know that this is your Sunday to respond to Jesus, to give him the gift of your heart once and for all, then I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up and respond so we can pray with you as a church. Is there anybody here this morning that know that this is their message to respond to Jesus, to give him the gift of their heart? It's a big question, so we're going to wait. Thank you, Lord. Opportunity to be a wise man of today, to make the journey to give Jesus their worship, their obedience, and their heart. Is there anyone like that this morning in here? Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. That feeling you can feel is the presence of God. You know, what's beautiful about God is when we move ourselves to be positioned near him, he actually moves towards us. It's just like I talked about Peter in the boat. We step first and then God meets us right where we're at. I just want to encourage you this morning. God will meet you where you're at. Is there anyone else we're waiting on this morning? Thank you, thank you. See that hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. I just really feel this afternoon, but there are some people that need to respond, particularly around the gifts of worship and obedience. If that's you this morning, if we can stand with you and pray with you right now. If you need to give that gift afresh this morning, I want you to stand to your feet. People that know that they need to worship differently, that they need to worship out of a place of sacrifice, of cost, to not worship just with their lips, but to worship with their hearts. Can I ask you to stand up? We're going to pray with you right now. Thank you. People all over the room. I also want to pray for people that know that they maybe have had a bit of the spirit of the toddler inside of them, that have raged against the correction and the principles of God, rather than being obedient to a father that wants to protect them and keep them from things that are going to harm them. If that's you this morning, if you know that you need to start being obedient to the promptings and commandings of the Lord, can I ask you to stand up too? I want to pray for you this morning. People that want to make a decision this morning that they are going to be wise enough to give the gift of obedience. Awesome. For those standing, we're gonna reach out our hands and pray for you right now, God. God, I thank you for these people, God. Lord, you so respond to people that are positioned near you, God. And I thank you that these people this morning have made a decision with their hearts, Father, that they would be gift givers to you this Christmas season, God. That Christmas wouldn't just be about, Father, the gift of your birth, God, but understanding that as believers, Lord, that they are able to give you the gift of worship, the gift of obedience, and the gift of their hearts, God. God, I just thank you for a renewal of relationship right now, God. God, I thank you, Father, for transformation to come upon lives, Lord. God, I thank you once we encounter you, things are never the same again, God. And I speak that and I prophesy that, God, that people are going to walk back into lives that don't look the same as they did walking in here, God, because of the new understanding they have, Father, of what it is to be a worshiper and to be obedient to you, God. God, bless every life. Bless every life, Father. For the rest of us, I'm going to ask us all to stand on our feet. And we're going to do one more song this morning. But again, like I talked about, we're not going to worship with our lips. We're going to worship as if we were living sacrifices this morning. Let's set our eyes on Jesus in a whole new way this Christmas season. We have a Lord who is worthy to be praised. And this morning, let's sing as a church that understands that. Let's give God the gift of our worship this morning.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.